KPBS Roundtable offers perspectives from those telling San Diego stories. Join us for weekly conversations with reporters and storytellers, adding depth and context to the headlines driving the news in the San Diego region. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Growing up in a Mexican household, Sundays often meant Cantinflas reruns or other classics from Mexico's golden age of cinema.
But the films that really had our tios glued to the screen?
The B-grade Mexican westerns.
Policía federal, deténgase! Like the scene that you just heard. Two bad guys trying to drive a load of narcotics through a police checkpoint. Even the most inexperienced viewer would notice the awkward editing cuts, the laughable fight scenes, and the ever-present robotic acting.
Exactly. Those are the movies we mean. Everyone seemed captivated wherever they played.
Men in tejanas or cowboy hats, in off-road trucks, AK-47s tucked under their arms, a battle of narcos versus police, or
a battle for the heart.
These films are not good by Hollywood standards. In Mexico, they're derogatorily referred to as churros.
Films with poor acting, weak scripts, and a low production budget. And growing up with these films, that's all we thought they were, just bad movies.
Then, we met someone who completely changed how we saw them.
In front of the camera stands actor, singer, and producer Emilio Montiel.
Ya te digo, Ceci, mis dos hombres de confianza traicionaron.
He's 5'7", wearing a fancy suit, a thick mustache, and a tejana typical of wealthy cowboys. At a glance, he could pass for late Mexican singer Vicente Fernandez.
Emilio has produced hundreds of these type of movies, and we're on the set of his latest film, La Herencia.
Spanish for the inheritance. Today, he's playing a wealthy landowner. He's standing in the living room of an old but luxurious house, surrounded by his three adult children.
They are confronting him one by one about being cut off from their inheritance.
Tú nos engañaste. Hijo loco, te veo peor que antes.
Déjalo, ya lo causarán los remordimientos.
Behind the camera is a ragtag crew of three juggling multiple roles. The director doubles as the main cameraman, the assistant director as the lighting gaffer, and the sound operator will also edit the film.
Despite being a small crew, they are remarkably effective, coordinating and executing each scene seamlessly as they progress through the day's shoot.
Señor Villarreal, con permiso.
Señorita. ¿Cómo
sabe? The filming is briefly interrupted by a correction the director, Javier Cruz, makes to 6'2" white American actor Rory Pendergast.
And the scene concludes as Emilio rests his hand on the waist of a young woman as he walks out of frame and towards a terrace overlooking the Rosarito Sea.
Emilio plans to produce four movies over the next 2 to 3 months. Each will take about 2 weeks to shoot, with total production costs around $40,000.
This particular movie will be ready to be screened by May.
But not on the big screen. This movie is going directly to YouTube.
Emilio's movies don't have the reach to make it to theaters. They are created on a shoestring budget, usually with an inexperienced cast looking to break into the acting world.
And that shows. The acting leaves a lot to be desired.
But Emilio is fully aware of this, and so is his audience.
100 million of them. Every time one of his movies is uploaded to YouTube, commenters rush to show how much they love Emilio's films.
Each film attracts 250,000 to 500,000 views, with some reaching an impressive 5 to 10 million.
So if so many people love these films, are they really that bad? From KPBS, this is Port of Entry,
where we tell cross-border stories that connect us.
I'm Alan Lilienthal.
And I'm Natalie Gonzalez.
At 10 o'clock, they're happy. How is she dead 2 hours later?
When a San Diego police officer is found dead in her home, who investigates? Follow One of Their Own, a new podcast from KPBS, wherever you listen.
You are listening to Port of Entry.
¿Cómo está?
Bien, bien, gracias a Dios.
Mucho gusto.
Gracias, Julio.
Aquí.
Gracias, gracias.
A week prior to being on set, our producer Julio first met Emilio at his headquarters, a small house in the Santa Fe neighborhood, a working-class area on the outskirts of Tijuana between the city and Rosarito.
Y como pagaba siempre hotel, entonces, ¿por qué no me lo llevo a Rosarito? Es más privado, y entonces tengo todo mi archivero, tengo mi computadora aquí.
He explains that the house doubles as an office, storage for his equipment and films, and sometimes lodging for his cast and crew.
¿Ese es usted cantando?
Sí, no soy yo.
Once inside, one of Emilio's movies is playing on a wall-mounted TV. In that scene, he lip-syncs to a song he wrote while serenading a woman on the beach in Playas de Tijuana.
Y aquí ahorita estaba mirando también.
O sea, ¿canta y baila?
También, pero ahorita no. Pero ahorita casi puro nomás.
Emilio sings, he acts, and he even used to dance. At first glance, you might not expect such a diverse talent from a man of his appearance. But just like his films, there's much more to him than meets the eye.
Sí, y nosotros, yo y otro hermano, que en paz descanse, nos íbamos a la línea en aquellos años.
Emilio was born in Oakland, California, but grew up in a shanty home in Tijuana's old Hidalgo neighborhood. He was one of 8 children.
After his father left, Emilio and his siblings began helping to support the family as soon as they were old enough to work.
Estábamos tristes porque pues a los 8 años mi papá nos dejó. Entonces pues no, como ahora sí como dicen, ¿no? Las letras, como dicen, cuando tienes hambre las letras no entran.
He says hunger kept him from learning. Schoolwork just couldn't compete with the need for food.
Duré 4 años de primero en primaria. A los 16 salí de sexto y era el hombre más feliz. ¡Ay, yo soy junior!
De sexto de primaria.
He repeated first grade 4 times and didn't finish sixth grade until he was 16.
Nos íbamos a la línea pues a vender chicles, periódico y ayudarle a la gente a sacar el mandado, a echarle el mandado.
To help his family, he sold gum and newspapers at the border and bagged groceries in San Isidro, where he recalls being fired 19 times for eating the merchandise.
Vamos a decir, de 12, 15 años. Me corrieron 19 veces. 19 veces me corrieron.
He gave school a last shot in his 20s, enrolling in adult school in San Diego to pick up English, a skill that eludes him to this day.
But the teacher caught him flirting with girls instead of focusing, and he was promptly kicked out.
Usted no viene a estudiar, usted no viene a andar aquí de ahora sí, como dicen, ¿no? De caliente aquí, andar molestando a las muchachas. No, ¿qué pasó?
That was the extent of his academic development. By his own admission, everything he learned in life, he learned outside the classroom.
Ya tenía 23 años, yo creo 22, 23 años. Y todo lo que he aprendido, pues lo aprendí en la calle.
School just wasn't his thing.
Perhaps he was just a fish in the wrong pond.
This realization wouldn't dawn on him until later in life, and it only happened because he stumbled into a movie set as a kid, a moment he now credits as the start of his movie-making journey.
Y me llamó la atención porque estaban haciendo una película en el Toreo de Tijuana.
Emilio recalls Petula Clark, the British actress, filming at Tijuana's now-demolished Plaza de Toros, the city's bullfighting ring.
He was just an 11, 12-year-old kid in the crowd when someone pulled him onto the set for a quick cameo.
Dice, ok, dice, agarra estas varillas, ya las que le ponen los toros. Me dice, agárrales, me da dos banderillas. Y me dice, véndeselas a la actriz, que era Petula Clark. Sí, las agarré como si nada, Julio. Y creo que me dio $10 por las de esas.
He had to pretend to sell a few bullfighting darts to Petula Clark. In return, he got $10, and that was it. His first taste of life on a movie set.
He still doesn't know why they picked him, but the memory stuck and the spark was ignited. He vividly recalls this as the moment he fell in love with movies.
And his first call to movie making. He would have a second one 10 years later, when he was 21. At that time, Emilio was working full-time in construction and raising 3 kids with his wife. He dreamed of making it as a singer and was committed to that dream. He took every chance that came his way, which prompted mockery from many, especially his coworkers.
¿Por qué? Porque yo trabajaba en construcción al otro lado y se reían de mí.
Whenever he asked his supervisors for permission to skip work for singing gigs, his coworkers mocked him, a constant reaction every time he shared his artistic aspirations.
Entonces, los compañeros cómo son. Entonces, yo ya traía eso aquí adentro. Dije, ahora les voy a demostrar.
The ridicule stuck with him, fueling his determination to prove his detractors wrong.
Yo le pedía mucho a Dios que me diera la oportunidad de oír mi canción, mi voz en una radio.
He prayed for a chance to hear his voice on the radio, hoping someone would notice his talent. That chance finally came one afternoon at a carnitas restaurant in Tijuana.
Entonces el de mariachi me gustó. Llega el mesero, cuando llego y me siento y me dice, ay, qué bonito cantas.
Like many restaurants in Mexico, mariachi and trios would roam inside and offer guests a song for hire.
At his friend's urging, Emilio sang a few songs with the mariachi.
Y canté dos canciones, que es Paloma Negra y Amor de los Dos.
The guests applauded, impressed by his voice.
After he finished, a waiter handed him a card.
Y llega el mesero y me dice, señor Montiel, dice, tengo que mandar esta tarjeta, su cuenta ya está pagada.
The bill had been taken care of.
Yeah. ¿Y quién fue? Para ir a darle las gracias. Dice, no sé, ya se fue, dice, pero le dejó la tarjeta.
The mystery fan left before Emilio could thank him.
He later called the number on the card. It turned out it belonged to a producer from Jalisco, who invited him to record with a full mariachi in Guadalajara.
The news of his talent spread and it opened more doors, leading to more recording sessions in other studios across Mexico. Just as his singing career began to show promise, one particular recording session in Tijuana would change his path from singing to movie making.
Me pongo a cantar, Julio, y qué lo que pasa, que ahí estaba mi padrino, que ahora es mi padrino, que se llama Bernabé Meléndez el Gatillero, que es actor también de mucho nombre ya.
El Gatillero.
Es mi padrino.
Someone important was at the studio that day. Bernabé Meléndez, known as El Gatillero or The Hitman, a big name actor in the Mex-Western narco film world. Remember this?
Esta carga tiene que pasar a huevo.
We played it at the top of the episode. That's Bernabé, and next to him, a younger Emilio, both in a truck holding AK-47s, driving to ambush the bad guys. At the studio, Bernabé was immediately impressed by Emilio's singing.
Aquí estoy pensando como siempre, esperando tu regreso, mi amor.
Being noticed by the genre's leading man was as close to a blessing as one could get. But before Emilio fully immersed himself in filmmaking, he followed Bernabé's lead.
Starting with an invitation to Tecate, a town east of Tijuana.
Where Bernabé had an errand to run for an upcoming movie.
Me dice mi padrino, recuerdo bien que me dice, oye, dice, ¿qué vas a hacer? Le dije, ¿cuándo? ¿Ahorita? Y le dije, no, pues ya, irme a descansar. Y me dice, ¿por qué no me acompañas a Tecate? Y hablamos. Ah, claro.
On the way to Tecate, Bernabé praised Emilio's singing and encouraged him to bring that talent into film, telling him there was a place for him in the industry.
Y ella me dijo que se dedicaba al cine. So, no recuerdo qué año de mil no, hicimos la primera película que se llama Muerte en Tijuana, con Mario, Fernando y Patricia Rivera.
As an actor and producer, Bernabé had the leverage to place Emilio on the set of a production with the Almada brothers.
The legendary pioneers of the genre.
Entonces me dice, ahijado. Digo, ¿qué pasó, padrino? Dice, te quiero invitar a la película. Ah, sí, padrino, gracias, gracias. Y me dice, pero vas a ser el traidor.
Bernabé got him in, but Emilio would have to start with an unflattering role.
Le dije, no, 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 o sea, que como que el traidor. No, no, olvídese. No, no. Es que en el cine así se le dice. El que ve traía a Julano, que ve traía a Mangano, traía agua, eso. Ese es el traidor. Ah, ok.
He was offered the so-called role of the traidor, Spanish for traitor, a bit of wordplay meaning he would be the gopher. Go for this, go for that.
Basically, a production assistant.
Sprinkled with the occasional cameo as an extra, just to get his foot in the door. But not the full acting role Emilio had been hoping for, at least not yet. Bernabé opened the door for Emilio, but he still had to walk through it and prove himself. Finally, that opportunity came on another Almada Brothers production, Muerte en Tijuana, where he would also work as a gopher. The film was directed by Hernando Name, who had worked with Hollywood legends like Burt Lancaster, Kirk Douglas, and John Wayne.
Y me dice, ¿y tú qué haces? Le dije, no, pues trabajo en Estados Unidos, señor. Le dije, no, es que mi padrino Bernabé me invitó.
When Hernando needed to fill a small, uncast role, he approached Emilio on set.
Y dice, ¿y no te gusta el cine? Le dije, no, es que también canto. Le dije, pero trabajo en Estados Unidos en la construcción.
Hernando asked Emilio what he was doing on the set and if he liked movie making. Emilio replied with a very enthusiastic,
I love it, but I work in construction in the U.S., sir.
To which Hernando said,
don't worry, come.
Dice, vente. Y él me dio la oportunidad de entrar al cine, un personaje que entré así como dicen, con el pie derecho.
Hernando promoted Emilio from gopher to a small part with lines, alongside Fernando and Mario Almada, Patricia Rivera, and his padrino, Bernabé.
De que cuando yo caigo, hacer la película Muerte en Tijuana.
KPBS Roundtable offers perspectives from those telling San Diego stories. Join us for weekly conversations with reporters and storytellers, adding depth and context to the headlines driving the news in the San Diego region. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Entro con un personaje para pantalla grande.
Emilio was thrilled, finally appearing on the big screen with a speaking role, not just as an extra.
Pero ahí ya un personaje y en pantalla grande al lado de Don Mario Almada, de Fernando Almada y de Patricia Rivera, me quedé, dije, guau, y mira, gracias a Dios, de ahí para adelante, aquí me tienes.
Sí, la unión amedrenta a las compañías que nos contratan para que no lo hagan.
In 1991, Muerte en Tijuana was released, marking Emilio's big screen debut.
Over the next decade, he appeared in numerous productions alongside Bernabé and the Almada brothers.
Emilio only had background or supporting roles, and he wanted more.
But there was a problem.
No es porque no quieran, porque si tú eres un productor, no te vas a animar a meter dinero a una persona que está comenzando. ¿Por qué? Porque le vas a perder o a lo mejor la vas a ganar. Es un albur.
No one wanted him as their star. It was too risky. He was still just an unknown, especially when others on set doubted his acting skills.
¿Y te gusta mucho el cine? Sí. Pues mejor dedícate a tu trabajo. Porque de aquí te vas a morir de hambre.
Someone on set told him he wasn't cut out for acting and that he should stick to construction. Emilio felt that deeply.
No, pues se me cayó el cielo encima. Lloré.
He cried. It seemed that no one had faith in him. Hurt but not deterred, Emilio was determined to be the star of a film. So he decided to take matters into his own hands.
He would make his own movies and cast himself as a star.
Years of experience acting and working behind the scenes provided him with the necessary expertise to bring a film to life. He was determined to prove he could succeed, even if no one at work, on the film set, or at home believed in him. Especially his ex-wife. They had separated years earlier after the romance had faded. And when he shared what he was planning, she gave him an earful.
Sí, porque yo le dije a mi esposa cuando me divorcié. Le dije, ¿sabes qué? Voy a hacer una película. Me dice, ¿una película? Pues estás loco, ¿qué?
She thought he was crazy to take that risk. And to add insult to injury.
Me corrieron. Le dije, me da chance. Salgo el domingo, pero pues no va a poder venir el lunes. Entonces sí, hasta que también me corrieron de ahí.
He was fired from his construction job for asking to miss work. Emilio had hit rock bottom. So here he was, 40 years old, divorced, with 3 children, with nothing but hope and a prayer. Emilio went all in.
You are listening to Port of Entry.
Emilio's goal was clear: to become a lead actor. In 2008, Emilio produced his first movie, No Más Muertes en la Frontera, or No More Deaths at the Border, about migrants journeying north.
And from that, his production studio, Producciones Montiel, was born.
As with many of his productions, he also composed a song for the film. The track you're hearing now was written for that first movie, titled No Más Cruces en la Frontera, or No More Crossings at the Border.
Hasta que yo hice mis propias películas, entonces empecé a hacer mis estelares.
It wasn't until Emilio began producing his own films that he starred as the lead. And he hasn't stopped. He's produced more than 200 films. And though he started with narco Mex westerns, he has since shifted to more family-oriented stories, like the four he was producing when we met him. But producing came with real challenges.
The biggest one has always been money.
Mira, esa película, yo le metí como 30,000+ dólares. Tuve muchos problemas, Julio. Que al último la vendí. La vendí baratísima.
For his first film, he invested $30,000 of his own money and only just broke even. But
over time, he found creative ways to fund his projects.
Though he doesn't ask outright, fans often contribute. Almost always in kind, like catering or filming locations. Think of it as a type of crowdsourcing. There's also one unusual way he funds his movies.
I know that some of the actors kind of, like me, will pay to be in it, and I think that they're trying to, like, be actors.
Rory Pendergast is the 6'2" American Emilio was filming with when we first arrived on set. You see, Emilio welcomes actors who can contribute with more than just their performance.
He developed a pay-to-act model. If they made a cash contribution, he would create a role for them and coach them in front of the camera.
Rory is one of Emilio's recurring pay-to-play actors.
But for me, yeah, you know, I kick him a little bit of money at the end of it. And because it just kind of helps, it helps the ecosystem. It helps everything just kind of continue on in the process of things. And for my part, it's kind of cool to be able to contribute that, right?
He's an injury lawyer from Montana, now based in San Diego. This is the sixth movie he's been in. He pays to appear not just because he enjoys it, but because the on-screen visibility doubles as marketing for his law firm.
I mean, just look at this. Any attorney, just turn your head, you know, three clicks and you're gonna look at 15,000 billboards, right? Imagine how much money is getting spent on those billboards. And yet, here with just some crumbs, you get to plant something that potentially could be there forever. And again, so
Emilio's funding methods may be unconventional, but they've helped him bridge the budget gaps and pay his crew.
Entonces, yo le digo, aquí no se regaña nadie. Aquí no somos actores. Ni yo soy actor. Entonces, aquí no se regaña nadie.
So he makes it very clear to his crew that no one in front of the camera is ever reprimanded or scolded for their acting.
¿Por qué? Porque ellos, gracias a Dios y a ellos, tú tienes trabajo y hacemos las películas.
It's because of these non-actors that there's work for him and his crew. And he makes sure they feel welcomed on every project. A few days before another production, we joined Emilio while he ran errands. We wanted to understand his reliance on non-actors and the impact of his direct-to-YouTube model.
Si son actores, al primer momento de que ellos pisan un set y trabajan en una película, son actores. Son actores que nunca han estudiado, no le hace.
For Emilio, anyone on set working in front of the camera is an actor, with or without experience.
He admits that it also helps offset production costs.
Entonces, como te lo comenté, yo gracias a Dios y a esas personas hago películas. Y no nomás yo, muchos productores, cualquiera, cualquier Hollywood, donde tú quieras.
More importantly, he pays forward the favors he received when starting out.
Entonces te digo, yo siempre trato de apoyarlos. Apoyarlos. Gracias a Dios, como te voy a repetir, tengo muchas puertas abiertas. La gente ha sido muy bueno conmigo. Dios nunca me ha desamparado. Entonces te digo,
Emilio's laid-back approach means the door is open.
If you're willing to work hard and contribute, you are welcome.
And it's paid off. Some of the people to whom he had opened the doors returned the favor by offering donations, securing filming locations, or providing assistance on set. It's a you scratch my back, I scratch yours system. And for nearly 20 years, it's worked.
Even if he isn't able to secure big investors, Emilio gets his movies made.
And without investors to finance his films, that makes all the money he's able to put together extra critical, including YouTube earnings, however inconsistent that might be.
Entonces, esa me ha dejado la que más me dio hace como tres años, fueron $17,000 en un mes.
At his peak, Emilio made as much as $17,000 in a single month from YouTube views alone. For him, that was huge. Distribution hadn't always been so simple. In the 1980s and 90s, Mex Westerns struggled against Hollywood blockbusters. Many producers, like Emilio, turned to cable deals or direct-to-VHS and DVD releases. That meant splitting earnings with those distributors. But then came YouTube.
So we're going to take a look at YouTube, and just, I absolutely love this site, because I know there's lots of sites out there that allow you to upload videos, but this one is the most user-friendly.
YouTube gave him control over distribution, and now some of his films have up to 10 million views. Though these days, earnings are closer to $2,000 to $3,000 per month. And if money does come his way, he makes sure it trickles down to his cast and crew.
In its own quirky way, it's worked.
To really understand Emilio's approach to acting,
Emilio invited us to visit the set of his latest movie and even pitched the idea of acting.
Naturally, we couldn't pass it up. First up, Julio in his cinematic debut, cast as a showbiz reporter.
Action. Teo Villarreal, escala peldaños con un ascenso meteórico. Estoy segurísimo de que los canales de televisión y otras radiodifusoras lo van a tener en la mira para incluirlo en su programación. No lo pierdan de vista, Teo Villarreal. ¿Sale? Sí, sí.
Julio acting? What an amusing prospect. How many takes did it take you to nail the scene, Julio? 100?
Hey, being in front of camera is not my thing. I did my best.
On set, everyone was focused and treated Julio's time with the same respect they would give any seasoned actor. It completely subverted our expectations. We thought it would be far more relaxed. The crew was serious about making the movie and approached the story with real reverence.
This dedication was a sentiment echoed by director Javier.
Pues mira, últimamente me he dedicado más a este tipo de películas que son llamadas video home, que para mí es un término equivocado porque son películas.
Javier is a seasoned director and cinematographer with almost 50 years of experience in film production. He has shot and directed over 150 movies.
Recently, he's focused on creating films often labeled video home, a term used pejoratively to describe the type of movies Emilio produces, due to their extremely low budgets.
Son películas de bajo presupuesto, son películas que duran hora y media y que tienen el mismo.
Javier insists that despite the financial constraints, these films deserve the same respect as any other.
Yo siento que lo que hacemos tanto el señor Emilio como yo, como las personas que trabajamos con nosotros, es que no menospreciamos el
Javier believes the work he does with Emilio and his colleagues is meaningful because they respect the genre and the format, despite its direct-to-YouTube B-rate status.
For him, low budget doesn't mean low standards.
A mí lo que me sorprende que si son para nada más para YouTube, no hay una publicidad. Es una publicidad de boca en boca.
Keep in mind, he adds, there's no PR or advertising budget. The viewership is completely organic.
Built on shares and word of mouth.
Y las películas llegan a 500,000 reproducciones, 100,000 reproducciones, 1,000,000 de reproducciones. ¿Por qué? Pues porque se recomienda de boca en boca. Entonces yo siento que tiene mucho valor.
Then it was my on-camera acting turn. Director Javier walked me through the scene and through my first movie debut.
Usted no tiene por qué andarme buscando. Además, vámonos porque ya es muy tarde. Cierras esto, supuestamente, y se van los dos.
Okay. Eso es todo. ¿Estoy enojado o cómo?
Obviously, Alan killed it, but he did rush the scene, starting before the director made the call to action.
Hey, I got excited. We're not all seasoned actors like you and that.
Oh my gosh, you could never. I'm kidding. You actually did a great job.
I did have a lot of fun.
Action!
Licenciado,
Lo busca el adiestrador.
Dile que ya voy.
Dijo que es urgente.
Carajo, no deja ni llegar.
Y ahí cortamos. Muy bien.
The experience was an eye-opener. We started to understand why people are drawn to Emilio's movies. You can see part of it in the dedication and enthusiasm on set. Rory sees the same affection reflected online, in the comments and reactions to their films. It means something to him. It takes him back to the early days when he first met Emilio.
And I met him years ago. He was helping out with some construction at my house. And this guy said, hey, Emilio, he's a movie star. I was like, whatever, he's not a movie star. Come on. But he's just like busting my chops. But then I looked, and he's a movie star. So this was like 17, 2018. I'm like, dude, put me in a movie. I speak Spanish, so let's go. In 2019, I had this little bit part in 500 mil dólares de la recompensa, right? I was terrible. Like, it's hilarious how terrible I am. I mean, I really watch it just so you can laugh at me. That's how funny it is.
Qué bueno que vino, señor Emilio.
Pues, aquí estoy a sus órdenes, licenciado.
Ya leí sus documentos y es seguro que vamos a ganar esta demanda. Y será más rápido de lo que yo pensaba.
Rory has a point. That definitely wasn't an Oscar-worthy performance.
And so for me to spend a little bit of time here with Emilio, with the crew, with the director, with everybody, you can see that it's this kind of tight family. There's the same core set of people and then a few other people that kind of come in playing similar parts in this. The scripts are different in the background or the storyline, but it's always a very similar story. And I think it's just what people want, right? When you look at the comments and how quickly people come to it, that people love it, right? It's kind of like some of it, you could call it brain candy, eye candy, whatever it may be. It's just, it fulfills this sort of either gap or something in people's lives where they just get to take an hour, hour and a half, set aside and spend time with Tio Emilio.
For Rory, the objective of promoting his law firm has taken a back seat. He genuinely enjoys being a part of Emilio's movies, regardless of the exposure they might bring to his law firm. Confident in Emilio's films, he pays little attention to critics and haters.
Well, I think it's easy. No matter what, haters gonna hate, right? If we all had $1 million for a budget, you're gonna make the movie up to that. You throw money at somebody, they should be able to make something awesome. But when you can do it on a shoestring, and you can, you're speaking, you're communicating something to people out there who feel it, that is cool, right? Because they're just saying, hey, with less, this dude is doing more. And look at the people, how they love it.
But like Rory says, haters are gonna hate. That's just what they do. And as it happens, Emilio once came face to face with one of his. Several years ago, at the peak of his YouTube success, he ran into a former coworker, someone who had mocked him for years when they worked together in construction.
Me toca la oportunidad de que nos vemos. Ahí mismo, él como iba a comprar mandado, yo también llegué.
They greeted each other respectfully, but this former coworker couldn't resist mocking him one more time.
Y me dijo, en tono de burla, oye, que es que andas cantando y que andas tus películas y eso, según tú, muy fregón.
Emilio, emboldened by his success, pulled out his phone and showed the hater his YouTube earnings.
Mi teléfono, lo saqué, dije, mire, ahí está el mugroso de Emilio Montiel. Y mírelo bien, soy yo, no es cualquier pendejo.
Looky here, how you like them apples.
Y se quedó el señor y su esposa volteó y lo mira y dice, ¿te taparon el hocico?
The coworker and his wife were left speechless. As we were leaving Emilio's movie set, we found ourselves reflecting.
I had so too much fun playing the role of this lawyer, and I want to keep acting with them. I had a lot of fun. I like how loose it is. Obviously, it's like, you know, it's like low budget, but I like their spirit. They're so motivated to just make movies and have fun, and I love them. They're all like, you know, in their 60s, 70s, like this dude that I was just talking to started acting at 62 years old and he's having the time of his life.
Nice.
I love that.
Everyone we met had a similar story. A first chance, a small role, then another. In this world, you earn belonging by showing up.
But not everyone showed up convinced. Natalie, for one, had her reservations.
Did you come here with a certain expectations, or did you change your mind about something?
Like, I wasn't, like, super excited about this. I wasn't invested. I thought it wasn't, like, a great idea for an episode. But now that I know their story and I know how passionate they are and how much they care, it hits me different now.
What do you think now?
Well, I think it's... They have an audience. They have a specific audience. And if they enjoy what they see, then it's worth it that they keep doing it.
Even with the quirks and low budgets, loyalty, work ethic, and community are intertwined in Emilio's movies. Maybe that's why some art is more valued than others. You can see it in the people, the dedication, and the joy they bring to the set. And especially the fans.
In Spain, in Chile, in Costa Rica, I also have a lot of fans. And thank you to Guatemala, El Salvador.
People around the world love the movies Emilio makes.
Y qué bonito, ¿no? Se sientes porque esa gente, gracias a Dios, y por ellos vivimos y seguimos haciendo películas. Porque si no nos apoyan, ¿con qué vas a hacer películas?
For Emilio, the fans aren't just viewers. They're the reason he keeps making his movies. Without their support, he says none of this would be possible.
Emilio's movies reminded us that it's never too late to pursue your passions. Along the way, you will find people who recognize you, share your vision, and feel at home in your work, whether you're an emerging actress
or the frontman in a binational band.
Forget the haters and double down on what makes you feel alive.
Even if you're just a construction worker from one of the poorest neighborhoods of Tijuana. This episode of Port of Entry was written and produced by Julio Cesar Ortiz Franco.
Adrián Villalobos is technical producer and sound designer.
This episode was edited by Chrissy Nguyen with support from Elizabeth Hames.
Lisa Jane Morissette is director of audio programming and operations.
I'm Alan Lilienthal.
And I'm Natalie González.
Nos vemos pronto.
Corporate underwriting on KPBS offers a unique opportunity for brands to demonstrate their corporate social responsibility as public media brings light to important causes. Your investment can showcase your brand's values and commitment to the public good. Email corporate support at kpbs.org.